tomorrow, Gambo and I, as we welcome you back into the Auction Community Studios. We're not going to be in the Auction Community Studios. We're going to be down at Talking Stick Resort Arena.
You ready for tomorrow, Jordan? You ready?
Been waiting all summer.
Oh, man, it's been a long time. We had to resist the temptation to do it during the Diamondback season, the Sun Devils, the Cardinals. We're ready. We're back.
Do you guys want one more practice run, or you think you're good?
I can set you up.
I thought our last practice run was
good enough.
Right. And we don't want to spoil it for the season opener tomorrow.
Save it for the season opener tomorrow.
We got something big for you tomorrow.
Yeah, we're in. We're back.
Something big for you tomorrow. The Suns are hosting the Dallas Mavericks tomorrow. We have something big coming up for you tomorrow.
It's nothing that big.
Don't oversell it too much.
It's not that big.
No, I'm trying to.
It's just us.
Trying to give people a reason why we're not doing it today. And we're saving it. It's really not that big.
It's our Bad News Bears reference.
Yeah, it's really not that big of a deal at all. And neither is this. And we're not trying to make, at least I'm not trying to make a big deal out of this. But this is interesting. This is an interesting way for, because tomorrow is not only the opener for the Phoenix Suns. The curtain is pulled on the DeAndre Ayton era, and we're all obviously super excited about it. Number one pick, franchise center, guy they've never had before, someone who's got the potential to dominate the NBA. You know, it's this, and tomorrow's our first real look at him. And Devin Booker's going to be back, and here come the new look Suns, and it's going to be against the guy they could have taken number one overall in Doncic, and they didn't. So in all this kind of hype and excitement and anticipation, DeAndre Ayton was asked about playing on national TV against the Mavericks, and here's how he responded to the question.
Oh, yeah, I'm an entertainer. You know, I don't look at myself as a basketball player. I like to entertain people. You know, I don't like doing jump hooks all day. I like to run and jump, shoot the ball. So doing this is fun. And, you know, I look forward to times like this, playing in front of everybody and showing what I got.
It's an entertainer.
He's an entertainer.
But hey, dude, whatever you need to be.
Seriously.
Just go get me 20 points and 15 rebounds.
If you get 20 and 15, you can call yourself whatever.
You can be Justin Bieber, Selena Gomez, whoever you want to be.
Justin Timberlake, Beyonce,
Kanye, whoever you want to be. You can be whoever you want.
Lady Gaga. Whatever you want to call
whoever you want to be.
Whatever.
That might be the best dueling Gambo ever of pop stars.
Justin Bieber.
Justin Timberlake.
Kanye West.
Beyonce. You can call yourself Cher for all I care. Whatever does it for you, DeAndre, that's fine. If you want us to just call you one name, like Cher or Beyonce, we'll just call you DeAndre. We'll just drop the last name, and we'll just call you DeAndre for the rest of your life.
I am trying to talk my wife into going to see an artist, an 85-year-old woman sing, who was like popular in the 60s, and I actually liked some of her songs. And so I'm trying to convince her to do it. We'll find out if my wife really loves me or not. Her name's Petula Clark. And she sings like a bunch
of good
songs.
She sings Downtown.
Downtown, yeah. I know.
Yeah, that song's only like 50, 60 years old.
She's 85. She's 85. She's playing in Celebrity Theater. I want to go. I want to go. She's 85. How many times? I've never seen her before, but I like some of her music from the 60s. It's good. So I'm trying to convince my wife. She's like, how old is this lady? I go, 85. She goes, really? I go, yeah, she's 85. She goes, you want me to go see this? She goes, that's even before your time. I go, I know, but I kind of like it. So if DeAndre wants to be Petula Clark, it could be her.
You could look, if you want to call yourself an entertainer. And look, I think I understand.
He is an entertainer.
I think I understand what he's
in
saying.
A way.
He is, I think he wants to entertain us, right? Hey, you know.
Well, that's why we pay, right? You pay to go be entertained. It's a sporting, it's entertainment.
Exactly.
It's like going to it's in concert or a
kind
movie.
Of like, I want to be good enough to entertain you, to entertain Suns fans, to make you glad you watched, to make you be glad that you tuned in. And that's good. I mean, he wants to be a star. He wants to be special. And the stars in this league are entertainers. So if that's what you want, hey, knock yourself out.
Just don't go Harlem Globetrotters on me, behind the back and put the ball in the shirt and the head and off the shoulder. And this is not the Harlem Globetrotters. It's not that type of entertainment. You're here to play basketball and try to win games.
He is excited to start his first season.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. Officially playing in front of all the fans. Obviously, I don't want to show it. But trust me, I'm doing backflips in my mind right now. and I'm just trying to get ready the right way.
He was asked what a successful season's going to look like for the Suns.
We won more games than last year. That's my biggest goal, is winning as many games as possible and winning the right way. You know, winning, having fun, enjoying this year, being around vets, learning some stuff from them as well.
He was asked if he had any personal goals.
No, my main goal is just winning. I just want to win. I'm a winner, so I love winning. No matter if it's a banking shot, a win is a win. So I love winning.
ESPN came out with their basketball power index kind of projections, and they ran simulation after simulation, and the number they came up with is hardly what DeAndre Ayton would be looking for in terms of team success or personal success. It said 26 wins for the Suns, which would be a 5-game improvement from a year ago, which would be, I suppose, more wins than they had a year ago. I guess that was one of DeAndre's goals.
It's not good enough. It's not what anyone expects. I think there'll be a lot of disappointed people in the organization, players, owners, everybody, if they only win 26 basketball games. A 5-win improvement on a team that didn't have Devin Booker for like the last 3 weeks. You didn't have Devin Booker for like the last 10 games. You had an interim coach the entire season, an interim coach.
Mm-hmm.
You're only going to improve by 5. You just added the number one pick in the draft, added an NBA champion in Trevor Ariza, an outside shooter in Ryan Anderson. You're only going to be 5 games better?
But as you've said, who in the West are they better than?
Sure. That's the big question. But you know what? I mean, you just have to beat some of these teams.
I mean, that does matter. I mean, it does matter, right, that the West is so loaded that you could look at it from top to bottom and say, despite everything that you just said, that there's only one team in the Western Conference that's worse than they are.
And there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to look at you as a night off, and you got to take advantage of that. There's going to be a lot of teams that look at the Phoenix Suns and be like, hey, man, we only got to go 80% to beat this team. So, you know what? Let's stay out a little bit later. I'm going to sleep it, whatever it's going to be. I mean, you got to take advantage of them and beat those teams. You've got a potential future all-star in Booker. You've got the number one pick in Ayton. You've got veteran players now that should be better than the veterans you've had in the past. I mean, Ariza has won a championship. I'm not a Ryan Anderson fan, but he will space the floor. Listen, 5 wins, that's not good enough. Now, that's what they're saying, 26. I don't want to go over and under, man, because I thought the Cardinals were going to go over the 5.5 wins. So I went over on that, and we're not going to get that. So I just...
You predicted 31, right, for
Arizona
Sports.com?
Yeah, I think so. I'm trying to log on to my email, but I don't know how to find it to see where I sent it, because I'm just not smart enough to find my email on my computer because they changed everything.
I
kind of need you to help me sign on for everything.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of how these things go. I think I picked 27.
You go 27?
I think I picked 27. I'm looking at my, because I am smart enough to figure out my email. No, you know what? Okay, here's what I wrote.
What'd you write?
How many games will the Suns win and why? This was one of the questions we were posed to by ArizonaSports.com, our website. I wrote, quote, Suns are going to win 29 games. Ayton, Ariza, and Anderson, and of course a healthy Booker make the Suns a better team than a year ago, but still a long way to go. 29 wins. That's what I got. I thought it was lower than that.
So you got close.
I thought it was lower than that. I came close to a 10-win improvement. I think they'll fall just shy of that. 29. Would 29 be acceptable? Or is that still an abomination?
No, I want 30. I said 31, but I'll take 30.
Okay.
I'll literally take 30.
Look, it's so hard with the West being as good as it is and the fact that the point guard situation is still what it is.
Mine.
Okay.
All right, how many games will the Suns win? I'm sticking with 31.
All right.
10-game improvement, although I readily agree that without a true point guard, that might be a difficult task. But there are no excuses. A 10-win improvement also means they lose 51 games. The West is tough, I get it, but I'm not asking a lot to win 31.
I'm still convinced that you want them to win 31. If you had to bet your hard-earned money, I don't think you would bet on 31.
Listen.
That's just my opinion.
Reach for the stars.
That's just my opinion that if you were required by law to wager your money on how many games the Suns are going to win, you would not pick 31. That's just that, and you can do with that whatever you want, but that's my read on the putt. I don't think you would bet on them winning 31 if you had.
Sometimes you got to punch above your weight. You got to go for it all. You do. You got to go for it all.
What would you bet your hard-earned money on them winning if you had to?
31 games.
No way. No, 31 games. No, you would not.
31.
You want 31.
I'm saying 31.
Okay. I don't buy it for a second.
Jordan, how many wins did you pick?
I think it was either 26 or 27.
Man.
All right, tough guy. I'll tell you what.
Oh.
Listen.
Oh, here we go. This should be good. Here we go.
You give me 30. I'm going to show you. You give me 30. I'll make you the bet right now. I haven't had a bet in a while. You give me 30. I got a one game margin of error. They get to 30 wins.
Jordan Bird, write it down in the book.
Babalugas, we got a bet here.
Put it in the books.
We got ourselves.
All right, 30. What do you got, Sarah? How many wins for the Sun, Sarah?
We got ourselves a bet.
27.
You're not helping me either.
Sorry.
He's one of the greatest quarterbacks in league history. But as the leader of an organization, boy, John Elway's got some work to do. We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
You must learn.
It's the Knowledge Drop.
Let knowledge drop.
The Knowledge Drop. Brought to you by Lifetime Windows. Did you know metal window frames conduct heat right into your home? Visit LifetimeWindowsAZ.com.
The Knowledge Drop today actually comes courtesy of John Gambadoro, who showed this to me on his Twitter account about 2 hours ago, and I just scrambled to find it. You just learned today that Bobby Massey, the former member of the Arizona Cardinals, in Sunday's game in Miami, lost 12 pounds of sweat in that game.
Yes.
12 pounds of water weight just shush,
yep,
right off for Bobby Massey.
Yep.
He claims he lost 12 pounds during the game in Miami. It was that hot.
12 pounds.
12 pounds of
in
pure
one
water.
Football game.
Wow.
End up with Brock Osweiler leading the Miami Dolphins to a victory.
I don't think Brock lost 12 pounds, but
no.
Bobby Massey.
So damn hot.
apparently he lost that much. So that's your knowledge drop today. Bobby Massey dropping 12 pounds, and then he probably put 15 right back on immediately after the game, I would imagine.
Yeah, a couple of donuts.
And just like that, you're right back to where you were. The Broncos coming in. And, man, in some ways, and we talked about this earlier, and I got a tweet from a guy who's a Broncos fan who was listening to this show and said, I'll be honest with you, I love the Broncos. I'd rather be the Arizona Cardinals right now.
Well, because they have the one thing that the Broncos don't. The Broncos they gave 2 years and $25 million in guaranteed money to Case Keenum to come be their quarterback. Case Keenum had a great year for the Vikings, but a lot of people were like, guy's been an average quarterback, and then he just burst out. Like, I don't know if this is really him. The Vikings didn't want him back. Like, the Vikings did not want him back. Right? They went with Kirk Cousins.
Oh, yeah.
They could have had they saw Case Keenum every day lead him to the NFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't say, we want this guy back.
Mm-mm.
They got rid of all their quarterbacks, like the Cardinals did, right? They had Bridgewater, they had Bradford, and they had Case Keenum. They got rid of all of them.
Yep.
The Denver Broncos picked him up. They didn't draft a quarterback. They drafted Bradley Chubb, who's a good player.
Very good player.
But they could have drafted a quarterback at number 5. They decided not to. Now, the year before, they had Trevor Siemian. He's gone. Brock Osweiler, he's gone. Paxton Lynch, he's gone. So the one thing the Broncos, I mean, they don't have a future quarterback. So the Cardinals are in a better spot because at least they've got a guy that they believe in. And a lot of people believe is going to be a franchise quarterback, and the Broncos don't have
it
that.
It sort of reminds me what the Broncos are going through right now, what the Cardinals went through in the Kevin Cobb, John Skelton, Max Hall, Ryan Lindley, right? I mean, just doing whatever they could. Derek Anderson, Matt Leinart.
Yeah, Case Keenum was kind of like the Kevin Cobb.
Yeah, a little bit, right?
Right, Case Keenum was the Kevin Cobb.
Just desperately trying on whatever they could find. Trying to cook a meal with whatever food was in the pantry. Didn't matter what it was, man. It's just, hey, give me that can of beans. Let's see what I can do with that. Just trying to find the right fit at quarterback.
The can of spam. I freaking like spam. My wife can't believe that I like it. She wants to throw up every time I
really.
I like spam.
You know, John Elway right now is under a lot of fire. As much fire, let me put it this way: as much fire as a John Elway can be in Denver, he's a local legend. He's a national legend.
He's not getting booed, but he hasn't done a very good job over these last couple of years.
I think the trust is starting to get a little shaky up there. I read a big, long story on The Athletic this morning that was basically titled, How Much Longer Will Trust in John Elway Last? And here's some of the things they pointed out about John Elway the last few years. First of all, against the Rams on Sunday, there were 10,000 empty seats. It's Denver.
Wow.
They love their Broncos. 10,000 empty seats.
Seriously?
Now, it was cold as all get out.
It doesn't matter.
It was always freezing in Denver, but
there were 10,000 empty seats.
10,000 empty seats.
Game.
Okay.
Wow.
That's number one.
Okay.
That's,
I'm actually shocked by that, but go ahead.
Number two, in 2016, the Broncos and the Rams were both looking for a coach. The Rams chose Sean McVay. The Broncos chose Vance Joseph.
Man, I don't know if you blame. I mean, okay, Vance Joseph, and listen, because this relates to the Cardinals a little bit. Vance Joseph was the defensive coordinator for Miami. Before that, he was a defensive backs coach with Cincinnati. McVay was a 30-year-old wonder boy. 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He was 30. He's the youngest head coach since like 1915. Seriously, I'm not joking here. That one's not a joke. I mean, I don't know if there's a lot of teams that would have hired a 30-year-old to be the head coach of their football team.
No, but it, you know what? More than a 30-year-old, it was sort of about style, right?
Yeah, and McVay, and he listened. Oh, they let go of Wade Phillips in Denver.
Right.
And McVay took Wade Phillips, and it's like a perfect marriage.
In eight years, John Elway has hired three head coaches. He's drafted four quarterbacks. He's signed two high-profile veteran quarterbacks. Now, one of them was Peyton Manning, and he won a Super Bowl with that, so no one's going to blame that for him. But the decision to sign Keenum and give him all that money and not draft a quarterback at number five, now that's getting second-guessed because they don't have that young quarterback of the future that the Cardinals do, to the point where John Elway personally and his pro personnel guy personally went to Eugene, Oregon this past weekend to scout Justin Herbert, the quarterback of the Ducks, in his game against the Washington Huskies, because they know they're going to have a high pick and Herbert might be the guy that they end up going with. That they're going to need to draft a quarterback this next time around.
Listen, just keep this in the back of your mind. Maybe the Denver Broncos win enough games to where if they want Justin Herbert, they might have to call the Arizona Cardinals and make a trade up.
No doubt.
Think about it.
Sure.
The Cardinals might be in a position to get that. That's why, like, you know, when you're looking at all these teams that are, you know, that have one win, two wins, and you're just saying, okay, who's going to have top prize? Who's going to be the one that's going to get that mega offer from some team that wants the franchise quarterback?
It's possible. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
The whole point
is, so I was kind of rooting for the 49ers against the Packers.
Last night?
Yeah.
Just so the Cardinals can finish as high up?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, look.
Don't fault me for it. It's just I'd like to get the windfall at the end.
You know what I'll be curious to see? Since we're off topic, but I'll go there for a second. I don't think the Cardinals are actually the worst team in the NFL. I think the Raiders are the worst team in the NFL. That seems bad.
Yep.
Okay? If they, the Raiders, finish with the number one overall pick in the NFL draft,
would they take a quarterback?
That's the question.
They got Carr.
I know, but do they?
But he might not be Gruden's guy.
They have Carr the way the Dolphins have Tannehill. And I don't know if the Dolphins are looking at Tannehill as, oh, he is for sure our franchise quarterback. Now, they paid Carr. Now, I don't know what that contract looks like. I don't know how it's structured. So I don't know how easy it is for them to cut bait on that. But Gruden and
I got
Carr
it here. The time Derek Carr went through Gruden's quarterback camp. I have to see what he said about him.
It didn't say kind things.
I have it. I had just on video. I can't watch the video right now as I'm doing a radio show with you. I'm trying to be an entertainer here like DeAndre Ayton.
Sorry, I didn't mean
it. Oh, my goodness. Jackie Bradley Jr. just went grand salami.
Oh, boy. Off of Roberto Osuna.
Jackie Bradley
the
Jr.
grand slam for Bradley, and it's 8-2 Boston over Houston.
Slam.
Ooh, put some spicy mustard
Osuna
on that salami.
It was a 3-2 game.
He hit a batter, right?
He hit Moreland with the bases loaded. And then Bradley Jr. just went grand slam.
Oh, boy. Oh,
boy. Oh, boy.
Man, oh, man, oh, man. When we come back on the Murns and Gambo show, he has become the number one target for many Cardinals fans. Is Thursday it for Mike McCoy? That's next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. All right, so it's going to be a busy week around here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station in
it
a
is.
Good way.
Got Suns tomorrow. Got the doubleheader on Thursday. ASU and Stanford, and then the Cardinals and the Broncos.
Which one are you going to on Thursday?
I'm going to the Cardinals game.
Okay, so am I.
Yeah.
I'll see you there.
Mike McCoy's final game. I wanted to be there for it. I was at Josh Rosen's first game. When Josh Rosen first played, I was there.
Uh-huh.
And I want to be at Mike McCoy's final game.
Mike McCoy's final game. You made a compelling point as we welcome everybody back into the Burns and Gambo show here on this Tuesday afternoon. Tomorrow we will be at Talking Stick Resort Arena for the Suns opener. You made a compelling point earlier in the show. In fact, you kind of opened the show with it, that no matter what happens on Thursday, even if Rosen lights it up, even if Fitz lights it up, even if David Johnson lights it up, even if the offense rolls out there 450 yards of offense,
right,
that it shouldn't matter.
No, if you need that game to tell you, then you're as an organization, you don't know what you're doing. Is this the right guy for the job or not? You know, if you're going into it, well, let's see what happens. Well, then you got to know. I mean, this is what you paid to do. Is Mike McCoy, you've had six games of Mike McCoy. Six games, this offense hasn't had 300 yards. David Johnson's having an awful season. Larry Fitzgerald is playing the worst football. I mean, we've never seen Fitz be this bad. We didn't want to see this. You know, they can't get the running game going. They can't get the passing game going. Through six games, I mean, how much more do you need? I mean, that's 40% of the season, six games. I mean, if somebody did the math, I mean, it's 35-40% of the season. I mean, it's not two games, mm-hmm. six games. What have we seen in six games? Nothing. Stugatz. I don't need to
somebody
see anymore.
Somebody might counter, and I wouldn't agree with this, somebody mm-hmm. might counter that it's only been six games, and that six games is just not enough to be able to say, I know that's it for sure. He's terrible. He's got to go. I wouldn't argue that. Somebody might argue that.
Fair. I mean, you can make that argument that you got to give it time. You got to do these. Sure, that's fine. I think I've seen enough to realize that this is like, to me, when all the players are going bad, like the Magadan thing I referred to with the Diamondbacks, when all the players are going bad, man, you can't just look at the players and say it's you. You're not executing. No, maybe it's the plays. Maybe it's the offense. Maybe it's too vanilla. Maybe it's not no creativity. I mean, something's wrong where all of these players are not having a good year.
Yeah.
All of them. Nobody's having a good year.
One of those players is Larry Fitzgerald. Today he met with the media and called it unfair to put the offensive struggles on just one guy.
No, it's a team game. Everybody's got to be held accountable. And, you know, none of us have done a good enough job to this point to be successful. So to try to blame one person is not fair or right. You know, unfortunately, this profession, you know, there's always needs to be a finger pointed at somebody. Somebody has to be blamed. It's always been that way. And, you know, it's unfortunate.
And Fitz went on to talk about how hard he believes Mike McCoy is working behind the scenes to fix this.
The people outside the building don't understand what it's like to see a guy's working so hard. I mean, Mike McCoy's in his building every day at 4:30, leaving here at 10:30. I don't even know if he sees his wife and kids. I mean, he's tireless workers. You know, these guys put a lot of time and effort to give us the recipes to go out there and have success. So, you know, when blame is placed on guys like that, you know, it's tough on all of us. And, you know, the relationship that we have is not just football, it's personal. And, you know, you want to do well for everybody.
Saying the right things, but what he said was that, you know, these guys work hard to give us the recipe for success. There's no success. You're 1-5, the offense is the worst in the NFL. I don't care how hard he's working, it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of people that work really, really hard at their jobs, and when they're not good enough, they lose their jobs.
Right.
I mean, this isn't like the relationships and people outside the building. None of that matters. What matters is results. And Larry said it. I mean, he's working really, really hard to give us so we could have success. There is no success.
There is none. I'm sure he is working really hard, but it's not working.
Larry's never been a guy that got anybody fired. So Larry's not going to say anything, as frustrated as he is. His father tweeted out the other day how bad Mike McCoy's offense was because he was questioning whether Larry Fitz should be on the field on that fourth down play.
And then promptly deleted it. No, Larry's trying to back his guys. Larry's a good teammate. He's a good professional.
Doesn't want to be known as getting somebody fired.
Football player, and he's never going to say anything bad. And I'm sure he's right. I'm sure Mike McCoy is working as hard as he can behind the scenes to fix what is going on here. But there's, you know, there's working hard and there's working well. And this offense is, no matter how many hours Mike McCoy is putting into it, it's not working very well. Now, that doesn't mean, look, let's face the reality of this, okay? Let's say the Cardinals offense performs as it has all year long against Denver on Thursday, and they fire Mike McCoy on Friday,
okay?
And Byron Leftwich is promoted the next day to offensive coordinator. That doesn't mean that just like that everything's fixed. And just like that, everything's fine. And suddenly they're going to come out and throw for, you know, have 450 yards every single game. He's been a professional football coach, what, 2 years now? If even that, he's going to do some learning on the job, too. And he's got some figuring out to do. And it could be just as rough under Byron Leftwich as it was under Mike McCoy for all an entirely different set of reasons. Byron Leftwich might struggle in that role, at least early on, because he's never done something like that on a regular basis. And fans have to be prepared for that. Have to be prepared. It's not all going to be, you know, beautiful play calls and big touchdowns and points and all that stuff, because that very well could happen.
He's a former player who played a long time, who's been in coaching now for a few years. He's a guy that Bruce Arians identified as a future head coach.
I agree.
Because they like him. He does, and again, he's been here for a few years now. I'd like to give him the opportunity. Look, it's just, and I understand, your choices in midseason right now are you could go with the tight end coach, Jason Michael, who called plays for Tennessee as an offensive coordinator under Ken Wisenhunt, or you can go with, like right now, midseason. Now, if you want to promote Leftwich an interim and then at the end of the year interview a bunch of guys, I'm okay with that too.
Sure. Look, I'm not trying to make the case against Byron Leftwich. I'm just saying that firing Mike McCoy has to come with a word of caution, that if it's going to be Byron who takes over for him, it's not like it's going to be fixed right away and everything's going to be great right away. He's new at it. He's going to be learning on the job, and fans have to be prepared for some even more rough times ahead with now a rookie quarterback, rookie wide receiver, rookie center, rookie play caller, rookie offensive coordinator, right? I'm a rookie head coach. I mean, it's going to be new to everybody, and that is the sort of be careful what you wish for with the Mike McCoy thing, and I'm wishing for it too. I think they need to make a change, but understand it's just not going to get better overnight because they promote Byron Leftwich. It might be better next year, but I don't know if it's going to get better overnight.
I understand what you're saying. I mean, I'm not discrediting that, but I think the most important thing is Mike McCoy the right? Because if Mike McCoy's not the right guy going forward, there's no reason to continue this.
Oh, I totally agree.
And that's when, okay, so you make the change. Earl Watson wasn't the right guy for the Phoenix Suns. So they got rid of him and they went with Jay Triano on an interim basis. Then after Jay Triano, they hired Igor Kokoschkov. I'm not saying I think Byron Leftwich could do a good job, but I don't know for sure. You know, so, but if Mike McCoy's not the right guy, that's the number one priority. If he's not the right guy, then don't let him continue to mess up this offense.
Mike McCoy met with the media today, was asked if he's feeling any pressure right now.
We're focused on this week. That's all you do in this business. You go from, you try to be 1-0 at the end of every week, and that's what we're focused on.
And if he feels like his job is on the line this week.
We're preparing like any other week. Our objective every week is to go out and win the next game that you're playing. That's our focus.
He feels like he's even tuned out the outside noise a little bit, which I don't know if I buy.
No offense, but I don't watch a lot of TV. I don't read papers. I don't get on the internet. I'm too busy doing other things, putting plans together. And when my family's in town, I spend every minute I can with them or talking to them at night when they're in San Diego, things like that. So I don't. I've been in this long enough.
But I will say this, too. If the offense does have a tremendous amount of success on Thursday, you could, and I'm just saying could, if you wanted to, if you're the Cardinals, give Mike McCoy another week to see how he does against San Francisco with the mini bye, because your regular bye is after that game against San Francisco. So if you wanted to, if you saw enough things that you liked and he buys himself another week, you could do that if you were so inclined.
Okay.
Not saying they should,
yep.
Just saying they could.
You could. You could do that. You could, because you've got two more games. So now maybe, maybe you also just want to, you figure the 49er game coming up is a game that might be a good game for the Cardinals to have some success with Leftwich too.
Potentially.
Yes. That would be a home game. You might want to get him started there.
Yeah. Any part of the Burns and Gambo show that you want that you can't hear, we will deliver it to you. And all you have to do is text the word podcast to 620-620 and subscribe to the Burns and Gambo podcast on Google Play or iTunes. You're going to get everything about the show that you love, and it's going to be delivered to your device every single day. Gambo's information, the 4 o'clock reset, all the interviews like the Kurt Warner interview or the Mark May interview, all delivered to your phone every single day. Text podcast to 620-620. The Suns are still looking for a point guard, and apparently they made an offer to one team for theirs. We'll fill you in on the details of that next on the Burns and Gambo Show. According to the Philadelphia Inquirer's beat writer, covers the 76ers, Keith Pompey. I believe we've had him on the show a time or two. He is reporting the Suns offered the Philadelphia 76ers a second-round pick for point guard T.J. McConnell. And they were told no.
Not surprised by that. I mean, the Suns were trying to get a point guard for a second-rounder. You know, T.J.'s a good point guard. But you're not going to get a player like that. He's a good role player. It's hard to give up a second-round pick. I mean, people want... For TJ, you'd have to give up the Milwaukee pick. They didn't want to give up the Milwaukee pick for TJ. They were just in a bind with the picks because they didn't want to give up their first, because their first could literally be a top-five pick again. And you might be able to get a franchise point guard with that top-five pick. The Milwaukee pick is kind of valuable because it's the first-rounder, but it's not that valuable because of where it's where it is. So... You don't want to give up a first rounder for a guy that's not, you know, you don't feel as a franchise player. So they've always been in a tough spot. But I like T.J. McConnell. He's done a really good job since he's got to the NBA. Former U of A product, playing really well in Philadelphia.
Yeah, he is. He's carved out quite a niche for himself. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Got a lot of time in the playoffs last year. He started 2 games in the playoffs. He played 15 and a half minutes a night in the playoffs over a course of 10 games.
He's the backup to Ben Simmons. I mean, he gets good backup minutes. He is legitimately the backup to Ben Simmons at the point guard spot for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, so I can see why they would look at that and go, second round pick, yeah, no, that doesn't really interest us. They've got him on a reasonable contract. He makes like $1.5 million. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent next summer. So the search kind of continues. Nothing official, by the way, has been announced yet about Jamal Crawford. Now, we know it's going to happen, obviously. You reported that yesterday. But there's been no official announcement from the Suns, and there's been no official announcement about what the corresponding roster move is. We all expect it's going to be Davon Reed. But again, nothing like that official has come down
yet. I talked to Jamal Crawford today. He's getting his physical tomorrow.
Okay.
So he'll get his physical tomorrow, and then you know that will determine whether he's able to suit up and play tomorrow night or not. But he will have his physical tomorrow, and that's the holdup, and that's why there hasn't been another roster move, because they got to wait until he takes his physical, and that's been put off until tomorrow.
The question will then become, and we might not literally find out until an hour before tip-off, who will be the Suns' starting point guard tomorrow night in the opener against the Mavs?
Yeah, I think
we don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it could be Devin Booker if he plays. It could be Isaiah Kanan. It could be Okobo. You know, I don't think it'll be Melton. He got the least amount of time.
I don't think it's going to be Okobo either.
I don't think so either.
I'm ruling out the rookies. Yeah, I'm ruling out the rookies. I don't think it's going to be them. In my mind, and this is just my best guess, I'm going to rule out Crawford. He's not a point guard. He's not.
He'll play point guard,
but you know as well as I do, he's not really a point guard.
No, but he could play it. I mean, he can play it. He's got good size and. He could score. I mean, he's a scoring, you know, he's a scorer.
He's a scorer.
And he's a streaky scorer, too. You just signed him. You might want to get some practices in. You might want to bring him along slowly. I mean, instead of, you know, he hasn't practiced with the team yet. He hasn't, like I said, he hasn't passed his physical yet. So it's probably unlikely. But at this point, you don't know. I mean, they got 4 options to play point guard.
You do. I guess 5 if you count Melton Okobo, Crawford, Kanan, and Booker. If you want to count Booker, you technically have 5 options, but I'm going to rule the 2 rookies out. Crawford could. Booker could. I don't know whether they'd want to throw him right into that fire right away. I do think he's going to get a lot of looks at point guard this year. I think he is going to be, in many, many circumstances, the offensive initiator. You know, for the
sure.
Suns, whether you want to call that guy the point guard or not, I think he's going to be the initiator. And if you want, as you've said many times, to get your 5 best players on the floor, playing Devin Booker at the point accomplishes that. You'll get your best unit, best players on the floor. But if that's too much too soon for a guy who's missed the last several weeks because of the hand injury, then that would leave Isaiah Kanan. And I'll be honest with you, I think that's probably who I would bet a lunch on right now to be tomorrow's starting point guard.
Yeah, this
would be Isaiah Kanan.
The Suns tried to get TJ McConnell back when Ryan McDonough was the general manager. So this isn't like new this week that they, what's being reported that they tried to get him. So this goes back to when Ryan was the GM that they tried to get TJ McConnell. They made a call, they made calls on a lot of different players, but, you know, Ryan was trying to get, you know, we talked about Jeff Teague, we talked about Kemba Walker, we talked about a lot of different players, but, you know, I can tell you, you know, that yes, that was back for, you know, it was weeks ago. They were trying to get TJ McConnell for a second rounder. Back when Ryan was the general manager. So this was before even James Jones took over that they were trying to attempting to get him.
Zach Lowe, basketball writer at ESPN.com. Because today is, by the way, opening day in the NBA. There's two games on the schedule right
Celtics
now.
Celtics are playing the 76ers, so TJ McConnell's actually playing
Celtics
today.
Celtics are playing the 76ers. That's one of the games. And then later tonight, I'm trying to remember what the second game is today. It is, give me just a second here, Oklahoma City versus Golden State are the two games that we have tonight in the NBA. And Philly right now is losing to Boston 33-30 with about 5 minutes to go in the second quarter in that one. So you got two games going on in the NBA tonight. Zach Lowe, his 37 crazy predictions for the upcoming season. One of his predictions, and granted, he didn't write a lot about the Suns. I wouldn't expect him to. They're not, you know, there aren't that many expectations of them. He believes Phoenix will trade for Tyus Jones. Just one word or one line about it makes too much sense.
I mean, it does. I mean, he's 6'2". He's 22 years old, so he fits into the timeline. I could see Minnesota trading him. I mean, he's a decent player. I don't know that I look at him and I say, okay, he's your franchise point guard. I mean, I don't think he is. I don't think he's a franchise type point guard. He was a first round draft pick, 24th overall. I mean, he's be a serviceable guy for now, but I think their point guard is either going to come in free agency or trade or with that pick next year.
Yeah.
And remember, their point guard would have been Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. If Ryan McDonough had his way, that's the guy he wanted to move up to get, was the point guard out of Kentucky.
But even then, even if they had gotten their way in that regard, and that boy, that they were linked to him a lot. He still, being a young player, you would have needed somebody
a veteran backup?
Yes, you would have wanted somebody more of a veteran backup type guy rather than the youth you have right now in Jamal Crawford. You still would have wanted that. You going to bet on Kanan for tomorrow night? Is that your bet on starting point guard? We're going to go Booker.
I'll take Kanan.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I'll find out tomorrow. I'll try to find out tonight. But I mean, it all depends on Jamal. I mean, if Jamal's going to be able to pass his physical and be ready to play, I mean, a lot will depend on him. We'll try to find out what time he's going to get that physical and see if he'll be able to make it in time to be on the roster.
All right, the Coors Light, what's on tonight? The games that we are going to watch this evening. This Red Sox-Astros game is just about over. They're in the bottom of the ninth. The Red Sox enjoying an 8-2 lead, about to take a 2-1 series lead over the Astros in the ALCS. The NLCS with Milwaukee enjoying a 2-1 lead. Game 4 there is set to begin very soon here in the next 10 minutes or so. The Coyotes are beating the Minnesota Wild 1-0 with about a minute to go in the first
period. They got a goal
there. And then you've got NBA action tonight. Philadelphia taking on Boston. OKC versus Golden State. A lot to watch tonight around sports. Now tomorrow, don't forget, we'll be out at Talking Stick Resort Arena to celebrate the Phoenix Suns opener and opening day for Phoenix in the NBA.
We'll have a roundtable too tomorrow, right?
From 5 until 6, we're going to have a roundtable talking about Suns basketball. The Rundown with Jordan Bird is up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Have a good night, everyone.